thank you for coming. First, I want to thank the organizers for this very nice conference. And so I have to apologize because so I changed the topic of my talk. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to finish what I wanted to talk about on DSR. So instead, I'm going to talk about some stuff we've been doing with Hendrik Pfeiffer and Eugeniu Popescu regarding two groups and a generalization of BF theory. So this slide is basically the new stuff. You see that we proved basically a theorem. So we constructed a partition function where you can recognize here, if you take this part to be 1, this is your usual holonomy, okay? And this term is extra. So basically this partition function is a generalization of the BF action. And so basically the new thing is that this is invariant under Packner moves. So this is a new result now. You know it. If you want to go away to go to see the other talks, you can. So now I'm going to basically recall which context this partition function can be described. And so I will basically present you the two groups, and I will construct a two-gauge theory with which this partition function is associated to. So two groups. Why considering a two group? So two groups can be seen as a natural generalization in the context of lattice gauge theory. So in lattice gauge theory, you have a plaquette, okay, so you have group elements decorating the edges, and a natural generalization is to put decoration as well on the faces. Okay, so you have a pair of groups, G and H, so decorating the edge of the faces. So here you see that this edge is kind of transporting this link here. So this construction should be also considered when you want to talk about parallel transport of strings. And this structure should also appear when you want to construct more sensitive topological invariant, in the sense that usually when you construct a topological invariant, you worry about pi 1, the first homotopy group. Here you can construct stuff about pi 2, the second homotopy group. And you will see along the way that they provide also a good interpretation of this topological symmetry that is made in BF. So, two groups. So I will go through a policy and way. I'm not going to go through the heavy mathematical stuff. You can look at the Bayes and collaborators' papers for that. So for me, two group is just a pair of group, G and H, and you supply those with two maps. So T is a nomomorphism of Lie group, okay? It goes from H to G. And alpha is an action of G on H. Okay? Those two maps are not independent. You need to have some consistency relation between the two that I wrote over there. Okay? So now we can represent pictorially this guy, this two group element by like this packet which is decorated with on H by G, the group G, and on faces by the group H. And a way to interpret the T map is to really say that the T map is a target map. So basically, you take G1 and you transport it along H to bring it to G2. And so basically, this is a definition that we have here. And clearly, T of H is in G, so this is well defined. So this is the definition. So I have groups. I need to define a multiplication. So we are dealing with plaquettes. We have two ways to multiply plaquettes. We can go horizontally, okay, like there, or vertically, okay? And so you can basically see that a good way to define this horizontal multiplication in this way, and you see that in this horizontal multiplication, there is the action which enter into the game. And so you can also define the vertical vertical multiplication in this way. And clearly, there are also an inverse and an identity for each of those multiplications. If you do so, I'm going fast because I don't have much time. So if you do so, you see that really you make sense of this thing. So here you see that you can either multiply horizontally the two there and the two there, and then multiply vertically what you obtain. Or what you can do is first multiply vertically this one and this one, and then what you obtain, multiply it horizontally. You will get the same thing. You will get something which is the same structure there. So that this defines a consistent, this defines consistent operations. So some examples. We have H can be just a vector space translation. G is just the Lorentz group, and T is going to be trivial, it's constant, and the action will be just the action on the rotation on the vector on R. Okay. Another one, which is often considered, is the one where H is the Lie algebra of G. And once again, the T-map is trivial, and here we have the adjoint action of the group on the Lie algebra. Another one, a bit less trivial, is automorphism to group, where we have H, and G is the automorphism group of H. And the T-map basically takes an element of H and associates inner automorphism. An inner automorphism is just something like that. So you see this is an inner automorphism associated to H. Okay, so those are some examples. There are not that many examples on the market. This one, I think, is related to GERB theory. So that's some examples. So we have this construction. We can now take a triangulation and decorate the edges and the faces. And so here I have this triangle, and you see that there is my H element decorating the face, and it's transporting the edge 1-2 times 2-3 to the edge 1-3. Okay, so it's really transporting two edges to one. Now with that, I can define I can construct some holonomy around this face, okay? But I have to remember that the G13 is not independent, so there is really this construction, this relation here, so which is present, and so I have my holonomy, okay? So this is a generalization of the usual holonomy. You see, so this is the usual holonomy, and here I have this extra bit which comes from the decoration of the face. And by construction, this is always fixed to one, so that's a difference with the usual case. So now I have holonomies around loop. Now I can also define holonomies around cross surfaces. Okay. So since I have this different multiplication, I can take a cross surface. So for example, here a tetrahedron. So this is a tetrahedron that are just torn apart and flattened. Okay. So really, G14 here is identified with this guy. So I can decorate it, okay? And so here you see that so this is H124 that goes from there to up there. And now what I want to define, I want to construct the two holonomies. So I really want to multiply vertically the different group elements. Okay, so I start from there. But here you see I have to go opposite way. So this is basically H-1 to 4. And what's important here is that I'm really using the fact that I'm composing morphisms. So basically it means that the target has to be equal to the source. So if I start from here, I get to there. Now I can, there is a trivial operation that shows that basically the source of the inverse operation of there can be described by this one. Okay, so which means that when I start from there, I get there, so this is the target. And this is a source also of this morphism, which appears there. So now I apply that, so I go that way. Now this is my new target, and I can now compose that. So this is the source of this new morphism, okay? And then this is a new target, and then I can go there. So basically, I went around. And this construction is not depending on the way I decorate things, the way I put arrows and so on. So basically, it's really it's a really consistent construction. So, Now I have a tool in the means. Now I can ask what is the question, I can ask what could be a two-gauge theory on that. So I would like to construct, I would like to consider my space of packets and consider a gauge transformation. So usually when I have a gauge transformation, I have a point, okay? I have a point and then I have the group there, the fiber, and what I do is that I go in the fiber, I do my group element here, I have my group element here, then I come back, and so this is a gauge, the usual gauge transformation in the lattice gauge theory. But now, the key difference is that now we have the fiber is not a group, it's a two group, so it means that I have also decoration on the face. Okay, so I have to take that into account and basically use the composition to have basically this to obtain this this value for the gauge transformation, which now takes into account the fact I have also a gauge transformation on the face. And so here I was just considering the gauge transformation for an edge. I can also consider a gauge transformation for a face. Okay, so now I consider. I have this is my face, my packet, and I'm going to go in the two fiber. Okay, along the two group. And so basically, what I already obtained is like a tin can, a Coca-Cola can, and so I can do compose morphism, like I was saying before. And basically, this is what I obtain as my new gauge transformation, which take into account, therefore, that I have decoration on the faces. So with that, I could define some action and so on, and in the context of that two lattice gauge theory. But here I will be more interested about the differential point of view. Okay, so constructing some explicit action. So I want to take the differential picture. So take this two lattice gauge theory and shrink all the edges lengths, okay, to get some fields to talk about connection and so on. So I was talking about a 2D group, a little group. The Baez and his collaborators, Baez and Krantz, show that a 2D group, a little group, can be seen as an exponential of a Lie 2 algebra, okay? So a Lie 2 algebra is the infinitesimal version of a Lie 2 group. So again, there is a pair of Lie algebras, the infinitesimal part of the tau map, the target map, and the infinitesimal version of the action. Okay, so now I can come back to my two lattice gauge theory, and the element on my edges are associated with a connection, a one-form connection, which is with value in Lie G, the Lie algebra of the group G. And then I have also a two-form, which will be the connection associated, with value in the Lie algebra H. Associated with this construction, I can consider the two holonomy, the one holonomy and the two holonomy, like I was doing before. I take the infinitesimal part, and I see that I obtain a new one holonomy. So this is a standard one, but there is an extra bit, an extra contribution with the two-form here. An extra contribution which is given by the tau map. And similarly, there is a curvature of the two form B, which is a free form, and it's just defined like that. It's important to remember that this connection here, which people usually call the fake curvature, is zero always, because by construction we saw that this is always equal to one, so which means really that this curvature has to be zero. So we have a defined connection, we have a pair of connections, we have curvatures. Now we can look at the gauge transformation. I defined you the gauge transformation. We can again shrink everything and look at what are the infinitesimal version of these connections. And so this is the usual part. So this is a transformation for the one connection. So this is the well-known part, but you see that there is also an extra bit that comes into the game. The two form basically transform is the action here, the adjoint action, it transform like we know. But you see that there is also this extra bit. Okay, and this extra bit is like what people usually in the case of BF theory is this topological symmetry. So here Y is a one form with value in the Lie algebra H. And then we can also look at the transformation of the curvatures, and we see that they transform pretty simply. And it's also very important to realize that in order that the free curvature transform correctly, we need to have F, the fake curvature, to be zero. Okay? So we have fields, we have a gauge symmetries, or two gauge symmetries. We can start up to construct some actions, so we can play with many actions. But of course we would like, so this could be a big machinery, but we want to find something useful. And here I would like to present this action, which is basically which is going to generate this this partition function I was mentioning before. So I want to generate an action which will be a topological invariant. So a natural action to look at is some kind of generalization of BF. So what I consider is I introduce two extra fields, sigma and C, which are respectively in Lie G, in the Lie algebra of G, and Lie algebra of H. Okay, and I define, I tell that they transform in the following way. Okay, and now I can pick up the two group I want. Okay, so here I chose the adjoint two group because it's a simple one, and then from this one I can build up this action, which would be then two gauge invariant. Okay, and looking at the equation of motion, we see that what's really important is that it's implementing the fact that F here is zero, so it means that's what we wanted, because here I chose these two groups where T is trivial, which means that d tau is trivial. If d tau is trivial, it means that F here is just this guy, and since this guy must be zero, it really means that by construction I want to have F equal to zero. So my equation of motion are consistent with that, but also it says that my free curvature is zero. So this model can be, this model in fact already exists in a 3D case. Rodman and Junior Popescu looked at it, and they showed that basically it was related to topological matter coupled to gravity. They call it the sigma phi EA model. So now what I would like to do, so it's just like BF. So when I have BF, I can consider BF and construct the partition function of BF. And I integrate out the B, and I get something that I can discretize and show that it's topological invariant. So here I'm doing the same. So I consider this partition function. I'm integrating out the C and the sigma. Okay, and so basically I obtain these two Dirac function on F. So basically they implement that F and G have to be zero. So I started with the integral picture, and then I went to the differential picture. Now I was in differential picture. Now to regularize the construction, I'm going to the integral picture. So I replace the F here by the integral its integral definition, okay, and G as well, okay. So this is the free curvature expressed in terms in the lattice construction, and I take for the measure the R measures where I have one group element, a G element for each edge, and one H element for each face. Okay, so this is the R measure that I put there, and so I can obtain a partition function. So here the R measure, here is basically the Dirac function for the one curvature. This is for the Dirac function for the two curvature. And now you do the calculation. I'm not going to show it to you because it's just a long calculation which are not so interesting. But the fact is that this is a topological invariant. So this is invariant under the Packner moves. So in my little model, T was zero, so this guy shouldn't be there. But we show that, in fact, even when T is not zero, in general, this is indeed an invariant under Packner moves. Okay, so this is really like BF plus something else. So basically, this is something that tells you that the free curvature is flat. All right? soil finishing. So using two heat groups, I presented you some kind of topological invariant. Some version of it existed, some finite versions. Of course, when you do the Packner moves in this context, you get infinities, just like in the BF case. When it's finite, everything gets regularized. But when you have two Lie groups, you get the divergences, just like in BF. So to regularize, maybe we could talk about two quantum groups, like BF. That's mathematicians that have to work out that. It's an interesting question to say. So I was working in a group picture. I had group elements. It's a good question to say what is a two-Peter-Weyl theorem that allows me to go from the group to the representation. The problem is that representation of two groups is not well understood. Mathematicians like Baez and Mackey's and so on, Mackey, are looking at it, but at this time there is no definite answer. Laurent Freibel and John Baez and Aristide Baratin are working on a state-sum model. So really a state-sum model that is a model constructed out of representation of two groups, but it's unclear if this model is related to our model. So this is really an open question. We could also, to simplify, I mean, there was a couple of pages of calculation to show that it was a Packner invariant. So maybe we should ask our local expert, Robert, to find some kind of diagrammatic to help us out. And I think so this two-group structure is so it's very new, and so mathematicians are mostly working on it. And here I think is a concrete example where it can be interesting and useful. But I think we really lack a physical application, so we really need to try to find in which context this two-group structure can appear. And finding some of them should help, for example, to define the notion of representation and so on. So I think that there could be some possible link. I don't know which ones, but it seems pretty natural to have some links with this, what Alejandro was talking about, Alejandro and Winston were talking about when dealing with strings and so on. And possibly also this this construction of Frederick Schuller dealing with the area metric. So there is a lot of things to do. Thank you.
When you look at the class selection model,
yes.
Some of the
equations
of
Boltzmann
are very much close to
BF
theory, except that there is kind of two.
Yes, it's very similar.
So, is there a relationship of some kind of this topological invariance, some simple relationship between this topological invariance that you introduce and the BF ones? I mean, if you introduce something like the age,
yes. Yeah, well, so the partition function, when you look at it, is really, there is this part, which is really, so if you take T to be 1, this is really BF. This is a B term. The thing coming out from BF, okay, from the first part, from my, from the sigma phi, sigma F, okay? So this is, in a sense, this is related to BF, except that I top it, I add some extra structure, on the free, on the closed surfaces, so basically on the free curvature. Is it answering your question?
Yes, maybe another question would be, are these
invariants
some
new invariants? Yes, so, oh, sorry, okay. So this is, so in the final case, Yeter showed that this was measuring, this was counting the number of the homomorphism between pi 2, the second homotopy group, and the finite group that he was considering. It's unclear if this is the case also for Lie groups, Lie 2 groups, but for finite 2 groups, he showed that. So in this sense, this is new, yes. Because in BF, usually this is pi 1, so that's more information, a different kind of information.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, so I have no good feeling for this. How complex is kind of two groups are. So let me just ask, if I give you a gauge theory, like a Lagrangian or something, is it straightforward to make it into a two-gauge group? Or is that something very subtle where you have to think about or
I think this is more, it's a bit more subtle, I would say, because you see that in a construction, I always have, by construction, I have this F, the one autonomy, is always fixed to be one. So it's not something, it's not that a usual gauge theory can be just recovered from a two-gauge theory just by saying, for example, that T is one. So I could take H and G identical and say and T to be trivial, okay, and the action is trivial. So that's basically this. This would be the most degenerate structure I could have, the most degenerate two-group. But then you see that there is still that the curvature is always flat by construction. So the information is really about the free curvature. Okay, so in this sense, that's, I would say it's different. And you cannot really recover a usual one-gauge theory from a two-gauge theory.
Okay, so we can think.